You find our scripture reading in Matthew's Gospel, please. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 21. And while you're finding the place, let me thank David for his words of welcome and the invitation to be back with you. Thank you in the Lord's name for having me with you today. And just a word of thanks, because I knew that the folk here were praying for me from last November when I took the heart attack. And since then I've had 5 stents. And I was informed by one of the nurses that each stent is worth £350. So that's 5 stents I have got in here, and they're £350 a piece. So I'm worth a pound or two today. But thank you for your prayers, and thank you indeed for thinking about me. And I do assure you that I knew the good of the Lord's people praying for me at that time. So thank you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, please, and verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called an house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And God will bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious word for his dear name's sake. Amen. A moment's prayer, please. Lord, we thank you for your good word, and we pray indeed it will be a blessing to our hearts and to our souls this morning. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while we wait on thee, and hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. In the Christian calendar, today is known as Palm Sunday. So I'm going to be typically topical. And I'm going to look again with you at what's known as Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The cross of Christ is the focal point of the history of the ages. From eternity, from the pre-creation eternity, the cross was God's plan for the redemption of the race. So in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that his own Son might die for our sins, and that he might bring us to God and reconcile us to God. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth in humiliation. He lived his life in perfect obedience to the Father's will, steadfastly setting his face towards Jerusalem, that his death might be accomplished. This chapter of Matthew records the important events which led up to the fulfillment of the Father's decree and the Son's purpose. For here our Lord publicly offered himself as king to his people, and within 1 week was publicly rejected by being put to death on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus' entry into Jerusalem has been called his triumphal entry. From the world's point of view, it could hardly be called a triumph, for it led to his arrest, crucifixion, and cruel death on Calvary's cross. But in God's wisdom, it was a glorious triumph. Yes, the very fact that it led to the Lord's death accomplished our salvation. God's triumph over sin and over the power of death by which our sinless Lord could not be bound. In this gospel is recorded the king's birth. If you look with me just for a quick moment at Matthew's gospel on chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Our Lord Jesus Christ was born King of the Jews. And in the word born, you have his humanity. In the word king, you have his royalty. In the word Jews, you have his nationality. In the word star, you've got his sovereignty, for he's the sovereign Lord. And in the fact that they came to worship him, that you have his deity. And this morning we are gathered to hear his voice and to worship him. So you can see it's a record of the king's birth. And we have the kingdom of God preached. And we have the constitution of his kingdom outlined in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we have been warned of the king's rejection and of the growing hatred of the religious leaders toward that end. And we have observed the manifestation of the king's power by his mighty works and miracles that he hath done, all testifying to the fact that he is God, God manifest in flesh.
And we shall see in the chapter before us that although he was acclaimed as king, and should be, rightly so, the multitudes neither knew him nor understood what they were truly saying. For when the city was stirred, they asked the question, "Who is this?" They didn't really know their Savior and their Messiah. The multitude answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth." He was just a prophet to them. No wonder on one occasion at Philippi, Caesarea, the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some of them answered, "You're one of the prophets. You're just like Jeremiah, even possibly Elijah." And the Lord said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed of God. Thou art the Messiah." And friend, as we stand here this morning, I thank God that my personal testimony is that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living stone, the Son of the living God. Here we stand, so help us God. We can do no other. Now, up until this time, the Lord never sought prominence. He had entered Jerusalem at other times, and he did so quietly. He did so unheralded. He had multitudes on the hillside and in the villages, and he preached to them the kingdom of God. And he told many whom he had healed, he says, "Go and tell no man." But at this time, this triumphal entry was not by choice. It was not by accident. But it was by the deliberate design of God himself. "Go find an ass. The Lord hath need of him." And this was to be the occasion of the public offer of himself as king. And consequently, he in his foreknowledge ordered and arranged the acclamation to suit this time. And surely this proves that he is without doubt God. God manifest in flesh, O wonder to behold. All that we read about him in the gospel proves that. And here again, we have a demonstration of his mighty power. Was it not by the Holy Spirit that Zechariah had written 500 years before, "Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek sitting upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass"? Surely then the Lord, the Messiah, knew where, and he knew where the ass was to be found, and what question the disciples would be asked when they loosed the ass and brought it to him. Beloved, I want you to turn to Zechariah just for a moment, because I want you to see this quotation. And the reason why I'm turning you here is because something very important is here. And it's Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. And I want to do this before we progress any farther. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, where this quotation is taken from by Matthew, we read this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, He is just and having salvation, lowly or meek, and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Is that the quotation that Matthew is making? Is it? Now I go back to chapter 21 again, because this is very important. And I want you to mark this. And I want you to see the inspiration of the scriptures of truth, that this is truly the word of God we are reading. Now look at verse 5 of our reading, Matthew 21, verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek or lowly, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Now what did Matthew leave out? Come on quickly now. What did he leave out of the quotation in Zechariah 9 and verse 9? He left out the words. Now watch it. He left out the words, he is just and having salvation. Now why did Matthew leave that out? The reason is this. That whenever the Savior came the first time to his own received him not. He was the just one. He came to bring them salvation. But they rejected him. They refused him. But he will come again the second time. With power and great glory. He will come as the just one. He come as the rejected one. And this time he will bring salvation to the believing remnant. And that will be at the end of the tribulation period. And they will enter into the millennial kingdom with him. And then we will see the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount really brought into preparation and into demonstration. And this is wonderful, friends, isn't it? Isn't this mighty? And we come to see his great power and glory. And this is a clear demonstration of his identity before his disciples and the crowd. There can be no mistake who he is. He's King Messiah. He's Lord. He's Savior. But sadly, they knew not the time of their visitation. And surely here we have the proof of the divine inspiration of the scriptures. Had man written Matthew's gospel, unaided by the Holy Spirit, he would have quoted the text in full. But it was under the Holy Spirit's guidance that the phrase was omitted, just on having salvation. Which brings out that this Gospel of Matthew is indeed the Jewish Gospel. And so, beloved, we come now to look at this great passage of Scripture. To look at this text itself. And in verses 1 to 2 to 3, we see the coming of Christ to the city of Jerusalem, the city of the great king. And we see the charge that Christ gave to his disciples. He says, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And you can see the choice of the colt. And then whenever you come to verse number 4, you will see the compliance of the owner. And if verse 3 says, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon the ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And you can see the citation of the prophet, of the prophecy. But there's something that I want you to see in verse number 3, and it's a very important phrase. And the Lord saith to his disciples, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this tells me that the Lord had a very genuine need. Did you ever realize that our Savior, when he trod the broad acres of this earth, there were times when he had genuine needs? Remember, on this occasion of his triumphal entry, he rode on a borrowed ass for the simple reason he did not possess one of his own. But more than that, and it should not surprise us, that on one occasion he preached to the multitude from another man's boat. It was Peter's boat. It was a borrowed boat. And you can see his need of the ass. And at that time that he preached to the multitudes by the Sea of Galilee, he borrowed a boat and used it for his pulpit. And friends, you can see that he used another man's coin as an illustration of the truth. He said, show me a penny. He didn't have a coin of his own. And when he ate the Passover, it was in another man's room. And following his death, he was buried in another man's sepulchre. Can you see the Lord's needs? Oh, how human he was. You see, he who was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And here we see the disciples. They spread their garments to provide for him a saddle. He had no saddle of his own. And the one who rode upon the ass could have rode on that ass on a diamond-studded chariot of the finest gold, but he didn't. Oh, his humanity. Truly, the one who was rich, for our sakes, he became poor. Beloved, do we really appreciate the condescension and the humiliation of our blessed Savior? Now he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given to him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now I want you to look at verses 6 and 9. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. You know, just as the disciples were quick to obey the command of the Savior, we should just be as quick to obey him in our own lives, personally. And we should do it promptly. And we should do it heartily. We should do it thankfully. We should do it gratefully. And we should do it with all our hearts. For it's for his glory. And he's no man's debtor. For anything that we do for him down here will one day be recorded or be rewarded by him up there. And then he goes on in verse 7 and says, and brought the ass and the colt, and put upon them their clothes, and set him thereon. And that's a phrase that I have often wondered at. Notice what it's saying. They brought the ass, they brought the colt, they put their clothes upon the colt and the ass to make a saddle for the Savior, and then they sat him thereon. What exactly does that mean? They sat him on. Could the Savior not have swung his own leg across the animal and got on himself? Ah, but he allowed them to place him on the ass. What a humble and meek and lowly Savior he was. And by this time a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, if you're following this reading, you see the coming of Christ, the charge of Christ to the disciples, the choice of the colt, the compliance of the owner, the citation of the prophecy, and now the cry of the crowd. And I want you to see the Savior just now. Try and picture it in your mind. And he's coming down the Mount of Olives. He's heading toward the Golden Gate and the entrance into Jerusalem. And the crowds beginning to gather. And sometimes I wonder, did they understand the significance of what they were doing? And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And we have seen this already. They weren't sure who he was. To them, he's just Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. On another occasion they said, is not this Joseph's son? And our Lord is still rejected and by the world his own. By the many still neglected and by the few enthroned. And let me tell you, his blessed name Jesus is used today more as a swear word than used in worship. Oh, the profanity of men. They know not the blessed Savior. But there's a day coming, and the Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Men today are having their day. This is man's day. It's a day of profanity. It's a day of blasphemy. It's a day of immorality. It's a day of sinfulness. But the Lord's day is coming. And he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. And he's coming back again in great power and glory. And every eye will see him and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord. And especially his own nation that rejected him. Now watch this. And when he was come into the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. You know, dear friends, these verses record the greatest moment in the history of the Jewish nation. This is their time. And they didn't recognize the time. Their Messiah King was before them. The one promised throughout the ages was presenting himself as he entered the city of the great king, the city of his father David. The whole hope of Israel was at hand. The whole hope of the world was here. But sadly, the nation rejected him. They did not know him. He was a mere prophet to them. But to those of us who are saved, he's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Lord of glory. And we love him because he first loved us. That's who he is. Can you just say thank you, Lord, now to him, and rejoice at him? The greatness of the Lord's humility is portrayed here. For he who was rich in the pre-creation eternity, for our sakes, became poor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing, Lord. In my place condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Our blessed Savior's approach was marked by a total absence of any ostentation or grandeur or pageantry. For the Lord, greatness goes hand in hand with humbleness. For he that will be first amongst you, let him be the servant of all. And in closing, let me show you this. Verse 12. And when Jesus went into the temple of God, when he commenced his public ministry, he cleansed the temple. And now as his public ministry comes to an end, once again, he cleanses the temple. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer.
Yes.
But ye have made it a den of thieves. Beloved, the religion of the Jews was reduced to mere ritualism. Remember that the Jews had the scriptures of truth. They had the Old Testament. And time again, the Savior preached from the Word of God. And he showed the religious leaders how they were making the Word of God of none effect because of their traditions. This is why the Savior was at opposition so much to the religious rulers. He didn't comply with their additions to the Word of God. This book says we are to make no additions to God's Word, and we are to take nothing away from God's Word. And in order to avoid the teachings of God's Word, the rabbis taught, the religious leaders taught, that when a man cast his gift into the treasury in the temple, and that they said it is Corban. In other words, it was devoted to the Lord, and the money that was devoted to the Lord. Well, they did not have to take care of their elderly parents. That absolved them. And that was against the teaching of God's word. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Can you see how tradition was doing away with the teaching of God's word? No wonder the blessed Savior was at odds with them. Friends, verse 14 saith this, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Oh, the compassion of Christ.
Amen.
He was a compassionate Savior. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Friends, sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou not these, what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? The Lord always responded to their criticism with quoting the scriptures of truth. And he says, have ye not read that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a Savior. Friend, he didn't come with a sword in his hand, did he? He didn't come riding a white steed, did he? He rode an ass, such as monarchs in the ancient times rode on missions of peace. He's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? And yet, you know, there's a sense in which he came as a great warrior. He had come to the holy city to fight for a kingdom, albeit the kingdom was not of this world. In 5 days' time, from that Palm Sunday, he must lay down his life a ransom. And it was the cross that was to be his triumphant chariot, from which he would lay low or many foes. And knowing full well in his own heart and mind the battle that lay ahead, thank God from the threat, he turned not back. He turned not away forever. Hallelujah. What a Savior. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning, for his dear name's sake. Just a moment's prayer, please, and our meeting is concluded. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your coming into this world. We thank you for going all the way to the place that is called Calvary. And there on yon old center cross, you laid down your life for ransom for us all. We thank thee that bearing shame and scoffing root, in our place condemned you stood, sealed our pardon with thy blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So we thank thee and we praise thee for thy humbleness.
Yes.
We thank you that humbleness has led to greatness. because this morning our God has highly exalted thee and given to thee a name that's above every name. And we see Jesus high and lifted up. Oh, look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. And bow we do, Lord, in humble worship at thy feet. Take our thanks for this time this morning. And as we leave the building, separate us in your fear and with your rich blessing for Christ's sake and glory. Amen. And amen.